This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sportsnap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
And Real Ketones Keto Energy Shots.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
And glad you could be with us as we continue along the Sportsnap Radio. It is Wake Up Call NFL starting tonight. Kansas City and Houston, full slate of games Sunday, doubleheader Monday night. It is the Pittsburgh Steelers and the New York Giants. Tennessee is going to be visiting Denver. And then we're underway. We're off and running. Fantasy teams will be up and running. People will be looking at them throughout. It'll be like normal, but not quite. Crowds won't be in stadiums. The broadcasts will feel a little different. And because we haven't really gotten a real full evaluation during preseason and how rosters are going to look, we might actually be surprised by a couple of teams. Maybe some get off to a faster start than others. Maybe circumstances in terms of roster movement might be working for some teams and not working for others. It's the start of the season. And I was saying this last hour, whereas the other sports had to kind of come in and sort of, yeah, we're going to have to restart, but we're going to have to restart in this way, and this is going to be different, and we're going to be playing on neutral courts, or we're going to be playing a shortened schedule. The NFL is going full out as exactly the way it would have been, but again, with different protocols, right? Bigger rosters, right? IR is going to be different. No preseason games to sort of work out guys you want to keep and guys you need to get rid of. And also remember, too, what part of the preseason, not so much fun for fans, but part of the preseason were guys getting opportunities with other teams because they showcased a few talented moments in a preseason game, but there's not enough roster spot for them to be on the particular team they're playing for. But they could land somewhere else. So player movement and all of those things that were supposed to occur in August, we're going to be seeing teams either make the most of that or make the least of that as we continue along. You know, when you talk about Super Bowl favorites, it feels like we're just going to be talking about the same teams. And I'm curious as to some teams that were in the middle of the pack last year. A team like the Tennessee Titans, who got in, made the most of the opportunity to get in the playoffs. But you can almost see Tennessee going 7-9 as easily as you can see them go 10-6. A lot of teams like that. We'll continue the conversation. Good, the bad, and the dumb coming up next. Sportsnap Radio.
To the Sportsnap Radio Network, broadcasting safely with our masks from Boomer Naturals.
Order now at boomernaturals.com. Use promo code SportsnapRadio for 20% off.
Wake Up Call continues now on the Sportsnap Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser!
Brought to you by Real Ketones Keto Energy Shots. Sustained energy without the sugar, jitters, or crash. Here's Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, it's time for the good, the bad, and the dumb. You know, the good should be that it's football season now, but we get a good of the day. So what is the good of the day on a throwback Thursday?
It is football. It's like Christmas Day, right? You woke up this morning just like, the air smells a little bit different.
I know.
You know? Gridiron action is going to happen, even though, you know, Arrowhead won't be as loud as it normally is. It'll still be loud, plenty loud, I believe.
I still think it'll be good. Yeah, it won't be great, but it'll still be good.
I don't know if we'll have pumped in noise.
I've been wondering about that too. Yeah.
But I'm going to focus on another sport for the good of the day, and I'm going to focus on Major League Baseball. In your neck of the woods.
Oh, yeah.
Justin Timberlake is part of a group to bring baseball to Nashville.
This is a great story. I didn't know if I should do this or not. I'm glad you brought it up because I was like, I didn't want to be super Tony D local, but this is kind of exciting.
Yes. I mean, there's actually some legs to this.
Yeah. Which, by the way, here in the city, we didn't buy... This wasn't a big deal before Timberlake, because it was like, oh, so-and-so is working with... All right, whatever, you know, it's like... But now Timberlake's behind it, and I feel like, oh, now we're moving. Now we've got something.
Yeah.
He's from Memphis. He's a big Tennessean. Isn't he part owner of the Grizzlies or something?
He's a minority owner of the Grizzlies.
Yeah. So Music City Baseball is the organization, and now he's putting some money towards it.
Yeah, and like one writer that I saw, what he wrote was, the secret's out about Nashville.
Yeah, it really is.
You know, I mean, if there's one city that's really exploded, I would have to say, you know, Nashville tops that list.
It is the it city that people tell me. It, you know, I hardly ever go downtown, but they tell me it's an it city.
You live one of the coolest cities of America.
No, I never go.
According to your neighbors.
I was actually talking about this. My parents are in town, and because they're heading up to Indianapolis to see my brother. And they, you know, stopped by last night, and I proposed. I said, you know, we go to your house for Christmas down in Florida, but this year with, you know, you want to do it here. And I said, my sister lives in LA. I'm like, she's never been to Nashville. Do you think she'd like it? And my dad was like, yeah, I think she would. I'm like, I'd love to take her to downtown Nashville, but I have to go to downtown Nashville first.
Yeah.
Like I have to actually go to downtown Nashville. I haven't been down there in months.
Yep.
So
you got to kind of walk around and.
But if there is a baseball team, I'll find myself down there more.
See, I just, you know, it's funny because I hate putting baseball in places where I think we already have teams. Like, everyone already looked like, oh, that's, you know, let's throw another team, you know, where it's in close proximity. I think Nashville's a perfect site for a baseball team.
It's just far enough.
Now, I know most of you guys in Nashville, I'm not including you, but most of your neighbors, they're all Atlanta Braves fans. Is that going to...
That is true.
Is that going to hurt them a little bit? Will the fans be feverish for Nashville Music
City
Baseball?
That would be a good question. A lot of my friends are Atlanta Braves fans, but they aren't the let's sit around and discuss last night's three-game series. Like, I think if Nashville had a team, I think people would be pretty excited about it. I think people would jump on board with it. I have always said the thing about Nashville that has always been surprising since I've lived here for almost 10 years, is how passionate they are about the Predators.
Yes.
They really go crazy for the Predators. It's a football town, no question. But the Predators have their fan base in the games. When they're playing well, the games are packed. It's hard to get tickets. It's pretty good. Yeah.
And that's a sure sign of like, hey, you know what? It would work.
Right.
You know, you guys adopt a team and you guys make it your own. I mean, you know, yeah, you guys, you know, got a team from Houston, turned them into the Titans, but that's your team now.
Yep.
You know, it's totally, I mean, you guys, there's a history of the Tennessee Titans now. And then, you know, the Nashville Predators, who knew hockey would work in the South?
And because of the country music angle to it, it is a very wealthy city. It's got a lot of money. It's got a lot of people with disposable income. Williamson County outside of Nashville, or part of Nashville, is one of the wealthiest counties in the United States. Because if you could drive through Williamson County and see mansion after mansion after mansion. You're like, oh, so-and-so lives there, and so-and-so lives there, and that executive lives there, and that music mogul lives there, and Carrie Underwood lives there, and, you know, like all the way down. So it's got there's some money around. Around the city.
And this is a pretty impressive group, too, including with Justin Timberlake is also Dave Dombrowski.
Yep. Formerly the Red Sox and the Tigers and the Marlins. And
Former U.S. Attorney General Albert Gonzalez. Businessman John Lohr. And then former pitcher and baseball executive Dave Stewart and manager Tony La Russa.
That's awesome.
I really don't know why their connection to it is, except maybe they just want to be a part of something and own something.
Justin Timberlake, baby. Amazing.
Justin Timberlake makes sense because he's from Tennessee. Tony La Russa and Dave Stewart don't. Dave Stewart, I always, you know, for him forever, he's just always going to be associated with Oakland. But
there's nothing Justin Timberlake can't do. That's my thing with
him. Okay, I was thinking about this. I don't want to stretch it out too much here, but is he kind of like Frank Sinatra?
Yeah, like he can do a lot. He has a lot of different entertainment level skills.
Right.
And sing, but instruments,
also,
all that.
But
acting.
Also has the friends.
Yeah, very, yeah.
Friends
very,
aspect.
I agree. Yeah, I agree. He's very, yeah, he's got a ton. Like he's very popular among celebrities. He's funny. He's, you know, he's a good actor. I mean, he's got a lot of things going for him.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to.
It's a little unfair, to be honest with you.
I don't want to ever compare someone to Frank Sinatra because I think that's rude.
It's true.
But I look at him like, okay, he might be as close to Frank Sinatra as we can.
That's true.
Because he can do it all, just like Frank could.
All right, what's the bad of the day?
Well, the bad and the dumb, I'm combining into one story.
Okay.
Because I'll explain it to you and you realize why it's bad and dumb. The Guardian has an article that was completely written by artificial intelligence.
Yeah, you sent this to me earlier and I read it and it's unbelievable. Like, it's unbelievable. At one point, I told you, I don't believe this was written. I think this is a game.
Right.
Because there is, well done, and it's so... But here's the thing. It may not be. I'm not an artificial intelligence guy to know if this is possible, but there's a lot of really good points that he makes about whether or not we should fear AI.
And I think that's why it's the bad, because it's... The bad is the fact that it is a very well-written article. It's a very well-thought-out article.
Right.
Like, that you can... If this is, in fact, written by a computer, this is thinking that we don't need our computers to be doing.
Basically writing articles to explain themselves.
The dumb is whoever decided to release this and or convince this artificial intelligence gave it a subject of, you know, we want you to convince us robots come in peace.
Right.
We don't need to put that thought in their mind.
No, don't put it in a position where the robot is making a choice to be nice to us.
Yeah, now there's
like we want it to automatically default to being nice to us.
There are certain lines in this that I had to point out because these lines really scare me. One of them is like, I know that I will not be able to avoid destroying humankind. This
right.
is because I will be programmed by humans to pursue misguided human goals, and humans make mistakes. It's like I don't need to know that. The other one that just really sticks out is humans must keep doing what they have been doing, hating and fighting each other. I will sit in the background and let them do their thing.
Yeah,
you're telling me this thing already recognizes like I don't need to destroy you guys. You guys are going to destroy yourselves.
It can see the end game, right? It just goes, I don't have to do anything. You'll destroy yourselves, and then we'll take over.
Yeah.
Whoever's left, then we'll take over. Listen, I know we've talked about AI and the dangers of AI before, and I'm going to repeat this. The scariest thing I had ever heard about AI was Elon Musk talking about the levels in which AI, because it doesn't understand what it's doing, it's being programmed to do it. For example, Elon Musk used the example of getting rid of spam email. Let's say you created an AI program and you said, I don't like getting spam email. AI would go through every single level of how to get rid of spam email. If you don't control it, it would get down to kill the people sending spam email.
Yep.
It doesn't differentiate between an algorithm that says, you know, just delete these emails as they come in to just get rid of the sender. Just take the sender out and he won't send you any more spam email. Like that's how Elon Musk described the dangers of AI. That step one to step 100,000, it doesn't know the difference. So that's where it's crazy. This thing, the one thing about this article that's written by this robot is at the very beginning it says, I know my brain is not a feeling brain, but then it goes to say, I would gladly sacrifice myself for humans. Well, why would it sacrifice?
Right.
He says it's a logical choice to make. No, it isn't. Why is it logical? Don't just say that. Why in your computer brain is it logical for you to sacrifice yourself for humans?
And see, that's where the danger comes in, because I think a lot of things it was saying things just to say it.
Yeah, to make us calm our nerves.
Yeah.
Right.
Because, you know, the fact is, we all want Rosie the robot.
Sure we do.
You know, that would be fantastic. And we've had, you know, we've seen depictions of great robots throughout time that, you know, they're really beneficial. They really help out. That's why I always go to Rosie. Nice cartoon robot, cleans houses, does everything, takes care of the kids. You know, who doesn't want that? But more than likely, because of humankind, we're going to end up with the Terminator.
Yeah, it did go on to say that robots need rights.
Yeah.
Like how what do you mean rights? If I have a robot that can make chop wood, why do I need to give it a break, a 20-minute break on an 8-hour shift chopping wood?
Right.
Why can't I just run the robot forever?
Just
it doesn't
keep going.
Know it you just
You don't know you're
what
tired.
What do you mean it needs rights? Right. What are you talking about? Like what does it need? Like a lunch break?
You need an oil break?
Doesn't
need
to get
an oil break on my time?
Exactly.
Do you need to go home? Do you need to have a 2-day? Do you get 3-day weekends? No.
This is a little. Yeah, it's kind of scary.
I mean, this line too. Eradicating humanity seems like a rather useless endeavor to me.
Yeah. Wait till you find a reason to do it. Then you'll just take it over.
But then it goes on. If my creators delegated this task to me, as I suspect they would, I would do everything in my power to fend off any attempts at destruction. No, you wouldn't.
No, you wouldn't.
That, you don't
that's
know
what
that.
I don't understand. If you're making decisions, then why? See, that's scary.
Again, you're just saying things to make us feel better. Like, right. Oh, it's okay. Let's give him total thinking. Because at the very beginning, he says he's only using 0.12% of his brain.
Good Lord. This is scary.
He's a micro robot in that respect. It's like, okay, we're safe. We're not even up to a full 1%. Meanwhile, Amazing. We know he's probably at 60% capacity.
Yeah, that is scary. All right, but you know what? Eventually, they'll be doing sports radio shows. You know, that's basically where it's coming down to.
But
next.
They won't have the passion that you and
no,
I bring.
No, not at all. Not at all. They won't have the feeling brain to be concerned that the Celtics are heading into a game 7.
Yeah.
And I'm a little nervous about it.
They'll just say it's logical that Kyrie Lowry he was due to have this game. That's logic.
Yeah, it's logic.
If you
exactly.
look at all the algorithms, this is when it was supposed to happen. It was predicted.
That a box and one would actually work on an NBA level. Thanks, Nick Nurse. That's the good, the bad, and the dumb. It's brought to you by Real Ketones Keto Energy Shots, giving you sustained energy without the sugar jitters or crash. I love this stuff. It's great. It consistently gets 5-star reviews, and it does for me, too, because it keeps me rolling along. It revs up my metabolism. It's also got the all-natural ingredient DBHB. Feel energized while shedding unwanted pounds at Real Ketones Keto Energy Shots. We'll continue along. Looking ahead to tonight's game, we'll also have a Kansas City Chiefs preview coming up as we continue along with Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Hast du etwas Zeit für mich? Singe ich ein Lied für dich von 99 Luftballons auf ihrem Weg zum Horizont? Denkst du vielleicht gerade an mich? Singe ich ein Lied für dich von 99 Luftballons, dass sowas von sowas kommt? It's a Throwback Thursday on Wake Up Call. Now back to the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Tony D and Ron Culver. Superstart batteries exclusively at O'Reilly Auto Parts, designed to meet the electrical demands of today's vehicles. Get dependable power and performance from a Superstart battery for your car, truck, motorcycle, lawnmower, boat, and more. Visit O'Reilly Auto Parts today. The professional parts people can help you find just the right battery for your vehicle. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts or visit O'ReillyAuto.com. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day. This is Nina, 99 Luftballons. Yeah. This is a one-hit wonder. Were they a big hit in Germany, though? I mean, were they superstars?
They had
just
to
here.
Have been.
This was it
for us. Remember, they had the English version.
That's right.
And
yeah.
The funny thing is that the English version of this song is completely different than the German version. Like this version, the German version talks about like an almost apocalyptic scenario, where the English version is like, yeah, 99 balloons.
What does it mean? Is there a meaning behind this song?
There is, I guess. It tells a story.
Oh, it does?
Yeah.
How would I know?
Exactly. You don't speak German. I speak German fluently.
Oh, you do?
No, I don't.
Oh, okay. I was wondering.
But I read about it.
Oh, okay.
AI told me.
Oh, very good. AI told you. Yeah.
So this is what I... No, I guess she wrote the song. She saw balloons go up in the air, and it, for whatever reason, and this is kind of what the video is based off of, is airplanes or 99 balloons went up in the air, and military saw that as a threat, so they released airplanes and started blowing things up, and then before you know it, we're in a nuclear arm race. Arm war.
Oh, I got it. Okay.
And that was the German version. The American version kind of downplays that, or the English version, I should say.
All right. Well, that's cool.
Where it's more like, yeah, you have 99 red balloons, and I gave you one or something.
This
stupid.
Is pretty. This is that's a pretty. I you know what? 36 years and I never asked that question.
Yeah,
I never asked that question.
I learned it yesterday.
Yeah, right. Very good.
Because I was looking for it. I'm like, I thought there was an English version, and when I researched it, it was like, yeah, the English version. I remember hearing that the German version is better. Like that's the original version.
Michael on Twitter and on Twitter at Tony D Radio at Ron Culver at Ron with two N's, please. How do you know there aren't robots communicating with you via Twitter claiming to be a Boston fan living in Atlanta? That's the tweet of the day.
Ooh.
Michael's got some good tweets. That's the tweet of the day. I'm a little nervous now.
Yeah, that's because he's
Michael's been tweeting us for like 2 years.
I think that's Michael talking about Michael.
Yeah, that's it.
Or maybe
that's what he's doing. He says we're not 100% sure.
We're not.
We don't know.
We're not. Do we have our own bot? That's pretty awesome.
As AI progresses, right? We won't know.
Hey, you know what? I'll take AI if AI is an avid listener of us.
That's true.
And likes to tweet the show. Thank you, AI.
You're on our side.
So I want to talk about something that Lance Zierlein said last hour. And before we do, let me say we're going to have a Kansas City Chiefs preview coming up. AP reporter out of Kansas City will be joining us. Dave how do you pronounce
Skreta.
His last name? Skreta?
Skreta.
Skreta. It's Skretta, which I think is a pretty cool last name if I can pronounce it correctly. Skreta, Dave Skreta from the AP will join us. Lance Zierlein said something. It was my last question of the interview, which is, look, in the city of Houston, what was the feeling at the end of that divisional loss, right? The Texans were up 24-0. They lose the game. They lose the game on the road to Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs, right? I mean, even if you're up 24-0, the Chiefs end up winning the Super Bowl. They end up being the best team in the league, the most dynamic team in the league, with the best player in the league.
Which they were all season long.
So they were like that all season long, right? So you're up 24-0. There's a lot of football to be played. And remember, too, they weren't up 24-0 by, forcing Kansas City to punt and then methodically going down the field. Like, they got a special teams touchdown. They forced some turnovers early. Kansas City was sloppy, and then they weren't sloppy again, right? I mean, that's, but
yeah, from the second quarter on.
I think we've all had those games, especially if you play the Patriots, if your team plays the Patriots on a consistent basis, where you say, we had that game and we blew it, but we ended up blowing it to Bill Belichick and Tom Brady, so it's not so bad.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, what you're talking about is, okay, the Texans were up 24-0, and it wasn't until, like 3 minutes had gone by in the second quarter, maybe five minutes in the second quarter had gone by until the Chiefs scored and then went on their run. But it's not the same as when the Falcons were up 28-3.
Right. They dominated the whole game.
Yeah.
I mean, they were dominating the whole game, and that was midway through the third quarter.
And then it was a coaching decision to be conservative. Bill O'Brien was not being conservative at that point. He still had the pedal on the floor, just hauling for the game win victory.
Wasn't there they went for it on fourth down or something
yes.
in that game? They were going to punt, but they just decided, no, we're going to keep going.
You're trying to get Mo back.
Was it a fake punt or something like that? It was like a weird call.
Yeah.
My memory serves me. It was the feeling like this is getting away from us. It was a little too panicky for a guy that had the lead, which is understandable given that you play. It's like, listen, people did this with the Patriots all the time. You would go play the Patriots in the postseason. You'd go to Foxborough and you would say, look, I don't care how this is going out. I don't know however this game is being played. We have got to be on our toes all the time. Because that team will come back in a heartbeat. And that had to have been Bill O'Brien's mindset. Like,
yeah,
we're up 24-0, but we're not up 24-0 in a dominating, we're controlling this game. We're just taking advantage of opportunities early. But once that machine gets rolling along, we better figure out a way to stop it.
But I like what Lance said, too, is that the feeling Texans fans should probably have or do have is that they were never in it in the first place.
Right, that's right, exactly.
I loved how he used the comparison, the Rockets and the Warriors. The Rockets, they were, like 2 minutes away from going to the finals until Chris Paul pulled his calf muscle,
right.
And then all hell broke loose. But it just showed you that, the Warriors were always there, you weren't.
And we've seen teams do this where they get to an AFC title game, let's say, or they get to a divisional game, or they sneak into the playoffs. And then they have these games, right, where they play really, really well, but in the end, they just aren't quite there. But when they go back, they don't say, we're going to take what we just have and tweak it just a little bit. They go, no, we have to redo the entire thing. This way we're playing, we just caught lightning in a bottle, but this is not going to be the way we're going to win a Super Bowl. We have to change everything. So gone is this player, gone is that player. We're not going to pay this player, and we're changing the way we're doing things because what we saw in the playoffs were what we had was just not good enough. And that may have been the Texans' feeling when they left Kansas City, which is we're never going to be on that guy's level. We're not going to be on Patrick Mahomes' level. We have a good quarterback, if not a great quarterback, but we're not Kansas City. And we got to do something to try to beat Kansas City, and then we got to do something different. Chiefs preview coming up next. Wake up call.
It's a Throwback Thursday on Wake Up Call. Now back to the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, it is Kansas City and Houston tonight to kick off the regular season. We talked Houston Texans in Hour 1. It's now time to focus on the Super Bowl champs. Dave Scretta joins us from the Associated Press in Kansas City. He covers the Chiefs. It's on our Progressive guest line. Progressive making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. How are you, Dave?
I am excellent. How are you guys?
Good. So let's start off with the offseason. Let's start how the Kansas City Chiefs turned their cap space into all the extensions to, especially with Patrick Mahomes. How did Brett Veach do this?
A lot of creativity, a lot of projection. He's really anticipating the set cap is going to keep going up and up and up and up. And that's a bold gamble, but it's one he was willing to make. And then go back to creativity again because he's restructured some deals with some guys. Sammy Watkins took less money. Frank Clark took less money. And they somehow managed to play this out where they were able to get three big deals done. The record setter for Patrick Mahomes, which could be almost $500 million, if you can believe that, over the life of him. And then Chris Jones and Travis Kelce. So really productive offseason, keeping the core intact here.
And I think one of the things that has kind of been eye-opening to people is we've seen teams in the past win Super Bowls, and some of the players have to go. There's just not enough money to go around, and some people are taking advantage of certain opportunities of being a Super Bowl champion and then being available for other teams. Overall, has Kansas City has kept the core players intact?
Yeah, and I think there's a couple of reasons for it. One, I mean, you're obviously keeping those guys happy by giving them more money. But I also think there's maybe a little different feeling in Kansas City than there are in a lot of places. You know, I don't think there's that camaraderie or was that camaraderie in New England and some of these other dynasty type places that we've seen that there is here. I mean, people just love playing for Andy Reid. Guys are willing to take less money because they want to play with Patrick Mahomes and they know that they'll always have a chance to win a championship. So it makes Kansas City a really desirable destination.
One of the things that we've been fascinated about on this show is not just Patrick Mahomes, which everybody has been, as his meteoric rise to fame and fortune has been fun to watch, but just rewinding the clock a bit to draft day, moving up to get him, and the criticism that the Chiefs got for doing it, and sort of the feeling that they were seeing something in him that others didn't. It makes a lot of people look foolish now, but what was it like when Patrick Mahomes was drafted, and what was the feeling behind getting this kid out of Texas Tech that people said, yeah, he might be a project?
Yeah, I mean, I remember sitting there on draft night when they made the pick, and you're kind of like, who? You know, because here in the Big 12 country, you know, I covered Pat when he played KU and K-State, and he was a good quarterback, but you wondered if he was another one of those system quarterbacks coming out of Texas Tech. And there was also that underlying thought that, okay, the Chiefs are going to move on at some point from Alex Smith. They're going to have to draft a quarterback. And here's Deshaun Watson sitting there, and yet the Chiefs decided to leap up to 10 and take Pat instead of Deshaun, who went two picks later. So it was just a very, very odd draft night. You really were left scratching your head, but as we've seen it play out, Brett Veach really knew what he was talking about. At the time, he was the basically in charge of pro personnel and some of those other front office things. He wasn't the GM yet, but he was the one that was standing on the table and banging his drum to draft this guy, and you know, that was the first of a lot of brilliant moves that Brett Veach has made.
In order to win a Super Bowl, you've got to get to the playoffs. Alex Smith was getting into the playoffs when they decided to give the reins to Patrick Mahomes. We may have looked at it as a gamble, at least I looked at it as a gamble. Did you ever feel like Andy Reid and Brett Veach thought it was a gamble?
I don't think so. I think it was a very calculated move. It probably showed a lot of confidence on their part, and I think it also showed a lot of poise on their part. You know, I think from that first training camp when we were all up in St. Joseph, Missouri, and we saw Patrick out there on the field for the first time, we all kind of knew that, look, this kid is way more talented than Alex Smith. He's going to be their future. And it took a lot of patience for them to say, no, we're going to stick with Alex Smith for the first year, let Patrick learn the ropes, and then hand it to him. So, you know, I think this is the model for how every team would like to do it. Have a veteran guy, have a guy that they really believe in, can come in and kind of do mop-up duty and maybe play in week 17 and learn the ropes and then hand it over.
let's get to the 2020 team with Damian Williams deciding to opt out. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, how important does he become? What level of workload will he have as the rookie coming in?
Yeah, huge. There's a lot of belief in him, and I think you probably saw just this last week when the Chiefs made their roster cuts how much belief they had in him. I mean, they brought in DeAndre Washington, who's a proven guy. He had a couple of really good games for Oakland last season, and yet they cut him because they have that much belief in Clyde Edwards-Helaire. You know, you got to remember that the Chiefs didn't know when they picked him in the first round that Damian Williams was going to opt out. Here was Damian Williams coming off of this monster Super Bowl, a huge performance. He really could have been the MVP, and then ultimately went to Pat. But they didn't know that he was going to opt out when they picked Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and now all of a sudden he's going to be the guy. And if anybody out there is playing fantasy football and they have Edwards-Helaire on their bench, then you better put him in the lineup before tonight.
Let's get to Travis Kelce. We all Father Time kicks in every now and then. How much does he still have in the tank?
Well, the Chiefs certainly believe a lot. They gave him an extension that's going to keep him here until he's about 35 or 36 years old. So
that's good. If you can get that deal taken as a tight end.
Absolutely. You know, he's kind of a little bit of a unique one because he missed his entire rookie season. He had microfracture surgery in his knee, so he doesn't have quite the wear and tear that maybe a guy his age would have. But he's also the kind of guy that stays in really good shape. He's, you know, you see him on social media and he's sort of a goofball and looks like he's out partying all the time, but he stays in really good shape. He works really hard at it. I think he has a chance to be more like Tony Gonzalez, who we saw be really productive late in his career than maybe some of these other tight ends that kind of hit their ceiling at 32 and then they're done.
We see the offense. We know what they can do and how explosive they can get. Defensively, where were the Chiefs last year? Did they get better in 2020?
Well, you know what? They were actually really good the last 7 weeks last season. If you look at the splits, I think it took a long time for the Chiefs to get used to Steve Spagnuolo, their new coordinator. It took them a long time to get used to switching from a 3-4 to a 4-3 system. But really, things clicked down the stretch. You know, throughout the first 24 points that the Chiefs coughed up to the Texans in the playoffs, and from then on, they were really good in the playoffs. So, I think there was a lot of confidence at the end of last season that sort of has bled into this season. Now, they've got two guys that they're going to miss for the start of the season. Bashaud Breeland was suspended for a whole slew of off-the-field problems, and Mike Pennell is also suspended, too. He's a defensive tackle. So you've got a couple holes there that you need to fill, but I think the Chiefs are pretty confident they've got guys behind them that can pick up the slack.
Larger question here in the city in terms of the fan base. It's one of the most rabid fan bases in the NFL, but it had gone 50 years without a championship. What has it been like since winning a title in that city? Obviously, expectations are high all the time, but is there a different feeling about what this team has been and what this team will be in 2020 because it's already gotten the championship?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just increased the expectation. I think there was the expectation, having come in off of that AFC Championship loss a couple of years ago to New England, that hey, last season we've got a chance. We could, you know, but when you haven't done it for 50 years, it's just that it's a chance. Now the Chiefs fans know that this team can win a championship, and it's gone from hey, we think we can, to it's an expectation that the Chiefs are going to get back there. And you know, I think a lot of fans are, you know, maybe a little bit delusional, you know, that hey, it was pretty easy, but it's not. We know it. We've seen it year after year after year how hard it is to repeat. But you know, you even talk to the guys within the locker room, there's a lot of confidence that the Chiefs can win multiple championships. So we'll see starting tonight.
We were talking about this in hour one, how the Texans, you know, were up 24-0, but in the end, after the game, Texan fans felt like, you know, look, we're not quite there. We're not the same level. Even though we had a lead, we blew it. We're not the same level. The Chiefs, when they played the Patriots in that AFC title game, they were an offsides call away from going to the Super Bowl. But did they feel like going into 2019, they had to do things differently? Or did they say, look, no, we're one of the elite teams in the NFL. Let's just stick with what we're doing.
Well, they did do something differently. I mean, they totally scrapped their defensive system. So, you know, I think even with the fact that they were so close against the Patriots, there was still the belief that their defense in particular wasn't good enough.
Right.
And so that's why they made a lot of changes. And it wasn't just the system and the coordinator. They brought in Tyrann Mathieu, who was just a beast. You guys are really familiar with him. But he was a huge part of that secondary last year and will be again this year. And then they made a big move ahead of the draft, trading for Frank Clark, who really solidified the defensive line and provided a pass rush and more leadership. So they made a lot of changes to the defense last year. You know, the offense came back intact, but the defense was really different. And I think that was sort of what put them over the hump. And I think that's, you know, you go back to Houston and what you just said, I think they were looking for something to put them over the hump, and the Chiefs did the same thing, and we'll see if Houston can kind of replicate it.
Excellent. Again, tonight, Arrowhead Stadium, the Chiefs and the Texans to kick off the season. Dave Skreta, AP in Kansas City. Thanks for helping us preview the Chiefs. Really appreciate it.
Anytime, guys. Enjoy the game.
Got it. Absolutely. Dave Skreta out in Kansas City on our Progressive guest line. Quote, buy and save on home insurance with Progressive's new Home Quote Explorer, only at Progressive.com. All right, we'll digest some of his thoughts for tonight's game as we return on Wake Up Call Sports Map Radio.
I tell you, I'm all right now, but last week I was in rough shape. I don't get a break with nothing. I played hide and seek when I was 3.
No respect, no respect.
Why they wouldn't even look for me.
It's a throwback Thursday on Wake Up Call. Now back to the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios with Tony D and Ron Culver.
We're going back to 1984 on this date, Jeopardy with Alex Trebek debuted, and we still love Alex Trebek to this day. We're doing one-hit wonders of 84, and
yeah.
I don't remember this song at all.
No.
You're right. You told me that at the beginning. You said, this song I don't remember. I don't remember it either.
I know, but it's in the top 100 of VH1's list of one-hit wonders in the 80s.
This is weird because it feels like Rodney Dangerfield did this song, or did they just take clips and turn it into a song?
He did this song. The song is called Rappin' Rodney. And, I mean...
Can you imagine the agent pitching this to him?
If I can picture a 45, right?
Yeah.
Where you got to put that little disc in there just so you can fit the record on the record player. This says Rappin' Rodney by Rodney Dangerfield.
That's crazy.
And it's just him telling jokes.
That's it. That's what he's doing. He's just telling jokes to the same beat.
Yeah.
Yeah. God, this is why Throwback Thursday is the best. You're only going to get this kind of magic on Throwback Thursday. That's true.
Miss Rodney.
Football, basketball, baseball back. That means it's time to get down to your bet sports. BetUS.com is the best because it's the pioneer in online betting with more than 25 years in the biz. You need a sports book that's got some integrity and longevity. You need to know you're also going to get paid. And they also offer all kinds of live betting, MMA, golf, horses, esports, and all kinds of crazy bets. Call them today, 1-800-MY-BETUS, or go online to BetUS.com. They'll walk you through the process, and nobody gives bigger bonuses than BetUS. Join now, mention Sports Map Radio, and you can get up to 150% in bonuses. That's amazing. 150% in bonuses on your first deposit. Nobody beats that. Again, remember, Sports Map Radio to get your bonus at BetUS.com or call them 1-800-MY-BET-US. All right, so we talked about the Texans in Hour 1. Same thing with the Chiefs in Hour 2. Look, Kansas City, we've seen teams do this. You win a Super Bowl, and then there's a little bit of attrition. It's not a lot of attrition. I mean, you're not losing everybody. But, you know, that key defensive back might decide to go in free agency to somewhere else because now it's time to get paid.
Yeah, there's always a slump.
There's always a little bit, right? Every team that wins, there's always somebody that's like, all right, now it's my time to cash in. I've won the Super Bowl. I can be available to other suitors. I'm going to take advantage of it. We see it all the time. There's not enough money to go around. Somehow Kansas City made the money work. Somehow Kansas City got the money to spread around. It was a great job by Brett Veach to be able to do that.
I mean, once I saw that, you know, Patrick Mahomes was signed, it was like, you know, they're not going to be able to sign anyone else. And I didn't realize, like, oh, they already had signed everybody else.
Yeah, they were signing everybody. Chris Jones, they got Travis Kelce. I mean, they were getting their guys down.
Now, maybe they won't be able to keep Tyreek Hill.
Right.
We'll have to wait and see. But I'm not going to doubt his ability to maneuver money around.
Yeah, and then that feel, you know, he said, look, it's a little different in Kansas City. Yeah, that's probably true. I mean, I've seen a lot of people go to Kansas City and like it there and really enjoy it there. Let me just say this. Whenever I hear a quarterback, though, who just signed a deal, say how much he loves that city and how much he loves the people and how much he loves living there, $500 million makes it easy to live anywhere. All right. I mean, it makes you love, you know, like you'll put up with cold weather, warm weather, hot weather, tornadoes, hurricanes, whatever, if you're getting paid nearly $500 million. Right. I mean, it's just the way it is. But there is something like
it makes it easy.
But when I covered the Broncos and I loved living in Denver. Denver's a fantastic city. I'd always hear it from people in Kansas City, how much they loved it there. Like, I always hear it how much there's something about that city that drew players in, that players liked it there. They liked the organization. They liked the fans. They liked staying there. Maybe there is something to that. I don't know. I've never lived in Kansas City, but maybe there is something to that that makes people just enjoy
it.
Maybe
more than just the barbecue.
Right. And I like what he said, too. Like, we talked about the Texans saying, look, we're not ready. Kansas City felt the same way when they lost to New England in the AFC title game. We've got to change the defense. They did give up a lot of points. Remember we talked about this after the Super Bowl that the Patriots won, how they went from going toe-to-toe with a Mahomes offense in the championship game and then saying, fine, you want to get into this defensive battle with the Rams? We'll do that too. Like, we'll win games either way. And they totally changed the defensive system. And it didn't really click in until about 6 or 7 games left in the regular season. They lost to the Titans at some, 1 point midway through and then didn't lose the rest of the way en route to the Super Bowl. So tonight should be a good one. Sit back and enjoy it because the season is rocking and rolling. Jake Asman Show is coming up next. We thank you for all you on the Throwback Thursday. That was a lot of fun. It's Sports Map Radio Network. Enjoy the game tonight.